Okay. So thank you for having me here today. As you can see from the title of my talk, I'm going to be talking about the perceptions of postpartum traditions, postpartum depression, and help seeking among recent Vietnamese mothers. And we have nothing to disclose. So I'll skip this since we talked about it previously with the other panelists. For Vietnamese Americans are the fourth largest Asian American group in the United States. There are currently about 1.55 million Vietnamese Americans. 68% are foreign-born, and 73% of whom are naturalized citizens. Most speak a language other than English at home, and about 14% are living in poverty. But I won't go there about what poverty and how they calculate poverty. Postpartum depression is the onset of a major mood disorder, about 4 weeks, some people in the literature say 2 weeks, 4 weeks to 12 months postpartum. About 20% of all mothers in the Western world will experience some kind of, some level of postpartum depression. And the literature varies, but some studies cite up to 55% of women in diverse cultures experience PPD. PPD is easily identified and treated, similar to other major depressive disorders. And about half of the mothers go, unfortunately, undiagnosed. There are severe consequences or serious consequences if left untreated. You can see them here. For example, a maternal child bond can be affected, infant behavior will be affected, cognitive development for the child, etc. There are disparities in the identification of PPD. Majority of the research in the United States focus on non-Hispanic white populations. There's very little PPD research among Asian populations, and myself and one of the other co-authors were writing a literature review paper in this area, and there are only 8 studies to date that focuses on Asian populations and PPD in the United States. Studies in Asian countries of origin suggest PPD rates up from 17 to 33%. Rates vary depending on their methodology. And as you can probably assume, depression is stigmatized in Asian cultures. So study objectives, same as my title, gain insight on the Vietnamese American mother's perceptions of postpartum traditions, PPD, and help seeking. So we used mixed methods. We conducted the study in Northern California. We had a convenient sampling, recruited through flyers, emails, providers, community centers, etc. More than half about eight were conducted in English and 7 in Vietnamese. But I should say, for those that were conducted in English, a lot of times the mothers would resort to speaking in Vietnamese to describe their traditions and et cetera. So it's not exactly 8 interviews were conducted entirely in English. Mothers self-identified as Vietnamese were obviously part of the inclusive criteria, age 18 years or older, and they had a single live birth within the past 12 months. So these were all recent mothers. In terms of the quantitative measures, we administer the demographic survey. We also administer the 10-item EPDS, which is the Edinburgh Postnatal Depression Scale. It's a very common screening tool that's used to detect PPD. It assesses the frequency of depressive symptoms over the past week among postpartum mothers. And each item is rated on a 4-point scale from 0 to 3, with a total score range from 0 to 30. An EPDS score of 10 suggests that the mother has PPD. And in terms of Vietnamese, the EPDS has been translated and back-translated among immigrant mothers Vietnamese mothers in Australia. It has also been used in a study in Hanoi, Vietnam. But as you can imagine, there's very limited research in PPD among Vietnamese mothers overall, and there were no studies I could find that used the EPDS in Vietnamese mothers in the United States, and actually no study that looked at what I'm doing as well in the United States. We also administered the mental health services questionnaire. I asked participants about their past year and lifetime utilization of mental health services and their experience with that, including their satisfaction level and who they actually sought help from. For the qualitative, we used a semi-structured interview guide, and we actually used the Ada Anderson A Day model to help structure or guide our interview questions. Participants were asked to describe how PPD is viewed in their culture, their postpartum traditions, and help-seeking attitudes and behaviors, including health services utilization. Examples of some questions: what would you do if you felt sad or depressed? What would you seek help? What do your family and friends think about sadness and depression? And this is the first part of the sample characteristics table. As you can see here, almost all of the mothers were born in Vietnam. And however, the number, the mean number of years lived in the U.S. was 18. The range was 5 to 35. You can see here that all the mothers in our sample were married, and majority of them also had a college level education. Okay, in terms of mean number of months of the mothers who were postpartum, it was 7.5. And you can see here some background information about number of children they've had and the sex of the recent infant and method of feeding. But you can, the bottom is where I kind of highlighted the important, what I feel is important information. So we asked the mothers, have you ever suffered depression in your lifetime? And 13.3% said yes. But then we also administered the EPDS, and about a third of the recent mothers suffered from possible PPD, which is pretty high for, although the sample is small, it's pretty high. So qualitative findings, in terms of the postpartum traditions, the mothers reported that postpartum traditions played really important roles in their lives in terms of their well-being and maintaining their strong cultural values. However, some reported feelings of isolation if they didn't have or experience the postpartum traditions as much. And some mothers also admitted that, you know what, I practice these traditions because I'm told to, but I don't understand why I'm practicing these traditions. And these are some examples of Vietnamese postpartum traditions: having a one-month celebration when the baby is a month old, and doing an offering and praying and worship. Not showering. This has to do with the whole hot-cold balance. You want to, after giving birth, you want to maintain or try to be warm and hot versus cold in order to help with recovery and improve the likelihood of your of longevity, and even things like to prevent the aging process that comes from childbirth. So by showering, it'll that's a cold method, and so you're not supposed to shower for about a month. But in the United States, you can imagine that probably doesn't happen too much. But some mothers do go. There were some mothers who said they went about a couple weeks. You know, personally for me, I only did a few days, and I couldn't do it anymore. But I didn't tell my mom that until she found out later and gave me a dirty look. But and so that's a side comment. So, and there are restrictions with food as well, and diet, physical limitations, as you can imagine, and other warm heating practices for healing, such as the charcoal practice, where you put hot charcoal underneath so you can help make the hole smaller and things like that after childbirth. Okay. So perceptions of the etiology of sadness, depression. The foremost perception about the cause of sadness and depression was related having experiences with stress or a high workload and a related lack of support for their work. And this isn't work necessarily for work in terms of their occupation, but work in the household. And it appears that the conventional gender role for the woman serves as a major contributor as well to sadness and depression. Some of the mothers proposed for the family unit to provide instrumental and emotional support and sympathy in order to help alleviate their stress and ultimately feelings of sadness. And just put up a quote here. You can see one mother says, you're not allowed to express your feelings. You have to be submissive. I feel like I'm second class, and you have to be obedient. A third of the mothers also thought that a difficult baby may contribute to sadness and depression. And here you can also see some other reasons or possible reasons for depression or sadness. So when we asked them about their actual lived experiences of depression and hope seeking, interestingly, more than half of the Vietnamese mothers reported that they have recent or current postpartum experience with sadness, but none of the mothers would admit to depression. They feel like that's a stigmatized word, and they said, I'm not depressed, but I'm just really, really sad. And only 60% of the Vietnamese mothers who were quote-unquote positive for depression, according to the EPDS, reported that they were sad during the interviews. And this means that 40% of the mothers reported sadness during the interviews, but that was not captured with the EPDS. On the other hand, half of the Vietnamese mothers who did report feelings of sadness during the interviews were not depressed according to the total EPDS score. And then many of the Vietnamese mothers reported having feelings of sadness said that they would not talk to their healthcare provider or seek professional help. And all of them felt that their condition was not severe enough to warrant help seeking at all. And this is, again, the lived experiences with depression or sadness in this case. And then we asked all the mothers, well, would you seek help if you were sad in the future or depressed in the future, which is a separate question from asking from their current feelings of sadness. And most of them said, oh yeah, sure, if I was sad, I would seek help, but only if my family said I should and if I thought it was severe enough and it was a last resort. So it's just really interesting that Of the mothers who were sad, a lot of them said they would not seek help. But then if you ask them, oh, hypothetically in the future if you were sad, would you seek help? And they said, yeah, sure, I would, if all these conditions applied. And then we asked them for what else would you do if you were did not seek professional help. I should actually take a step back. I realized this morning I did not include a slide on the results of the mental health services quantitative questionnaire. Out of all the mothers, only one mother said she had ever sought professional help, and she was quote-unquote satisfied with it in the past. So only one out of the 15 mothers. So social support here, not surprisingly, was mentioned as a major alternative for resource for sadness or depression. And nearly three quarters of the mothers said that they would prefer to engage in other types of activities as a means to distract them from their feelings of sadness rather than seeking professional help. And also use complementary and alternative medicine. Some cultural barriers to help seeking include stigma, and that wasn't surprising, but what was surprising was that most of the mothers also said, you know, there's a lack of culturally appropriate services for me, which is, I would say the reason why that's surprising, because one, it was even mentioned by a majority of the mothers in interviews, but also this study was conducted in a predominantly or in an area where, a region where there's large Vietnamese population, and there's actually lots of Vietnamese tailored an appropriate mental health services in the area. So it just probably speaks to the fact that there's a lack of awareness in the community. Okay. One participant said, I think our Vietnamese never come to those services. Our Vietnamese are very strong. American always comes to see counselors. Majority of our Vietnamese don't come to see these professions. I have a very strong mind. I am sad, but I don't need to see them. Okay. And one of the things that I want to stress with this quote one of the themes and throughout the interviews was there's a separation in identity. Like, I am Vietnamese and they are Americans. The mean number of years lived in the United States is 18 years. Third of the mother said there's a lack of financial resources or health insurance, that serves as a barrier to help seeking, and then you can see some other common barriers commonly cited for other depressive disorders as well. Just conclusions, one-third of the mothers reported experiencing PPD symptoms according to the EPDS, but then more than half said they were sad during the interviews. And a lot of them said they would rather seek alternative help, and also reported that PPD was not understood or addressed in their culture. Limitations, going to qualitative, the fact that it's a qualitative nature of the study, small sample size, but the purpose was to gain important insights from the perspectives of the Vietnamese mothers, particularly since there's really no research in this area. No measure of acculturation to validate the relationship between the mother's level of acculturation and Vietnamese postpartum beliefs and practices. Some future research continue this mixed methods methodology, have larger samples on the quantitative study, include biological and psychosocial variables, so you can see if there are any associations with depression. Then consider the importance of cultural traditions and the presence of cultural barriers as you design or develop the PPD interventions. This is my son. We would like to acknowledge the Vietnamese mothers who participated in this study, many of whom said they were very interested in learning what the results were. And also many of whom also said during the interview they were happy to have someone to talk to because they couldn't talk to anybody. On the one hand they said that I'm not depressed, but I'm so happy I have someone to speak to because I'm sad a lot. That was a common theme that we had. And this research is supported by a RISCA grant at San Jose State. Thank you.